The great truth had been proclaimed. It was spoken on the tongue of the heathen. I find no fault in him. Jesus Christ, the spotless Son of God, perfect, without sin, in him there is no fault. It was witnessed by the pen of the heathen. It was posted on the cross for all to see. The King of the Jews, the Anointed One, the Messiah of Israel, the only one who can save us, Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews. The great truth was proclaimed. But the great truth was rejected by the hearts of the Jews, God's own people. In the face of the proclamation of the great truth, the holy people of God declared, "We have no king but Caesar. Crucify Jesus." And so Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, without sin, without fault, was led forth to die. He carried his own cross to the place of execution, and there they drove nails through his hands and through his feet, and they hung him on a cross to die. And to everyone, it seemed as if the truth was a lie, and the lie was the truth. But in the passage read to you today from the Bible, the quiet witness speaks. And that quiet witness proclaims the everlasting, eternal, and unchanging truth. Before they hung Jesus on the cross to die, his executioners, four of them in number, divided his clothing into four piles, one for each of them. Now, the truth is, they were Roman soldiers. They were paid for their services that day. But Jesus' garments became their personal belongings, their property. So they divided up his clothing between them. But there was one garment left over. It was his undershirt. Was a long white linen shirt that would have hung from his neck to his knees or maybe down to his ankles. It was the garment that Jesus Christ our Lord would have worn next to his flesh. Jesus' undershirt was unique in that it was not sewn together with seams, but woven in one piece so that it had no seams. And the soldiers, not wanting to destroy it by cutting it to pieces, decided that they would cast lots. They would throw dice to see which one of them would get the undershirt. And the quiet witness speaks. Psalm 22, verses 17 and 20 through 21. They divided my clothes among them, and they cast lots for my garments. The quiet witness speaks. And then, as Jesus neared the end of his earthly life, he said, "I am thirsty." So they took a sponge and they put it on the end of a hyssop stick, and they stuck it down in some sour wine that was laced with hyssop, a drug to calm the nerves of the person dying, and they pushed it up to Jesus' lips that he might drink. He drank it, saying with his final breath, "It is finished." And then he died. And as he died, the quiet witness spoke. Psalm chapter 69, verse 21, and Psalm 21, verse 15. "They gave me gall, hyssop, in my food, and they gave me sour wine to drink. My strength is dried up, my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth, and you lay me in the dust of death." Quiet witness spoke. It was now very near the end of Friday, the day of preparation. Soon the Sabbath would begin. And the Jews did not want the body of those executed that day to remain on the crosses exposed there, because the crosses were in a prominent place, and many people coming into the holy city would witness the execution. It was done that way deliberately, so that bad people would be challenged not to be so bad. But it was Passover week, and many people would be coming into the city on that Sabbath. The Jews asked the governor to have the prisoners' legs broken. Now, to understand the reason for that, you have to understand the physics of crucifixion. Okay, the prisoner is stretched out like this. The whole weight of his body hangs right here on his diaphragm. So though he is in the midst of air, he cannot draw breath to continue life, because his diaphragm becomes paralyzed. The only way he can breathe is to push down on the nail in his feet and raise himself up just long enough in that horrible agony to draw another breath. And your body won't quit. So even when your mind is telling you to stop, your body's saying breathe, and you automatically push down and you endure the agony and you draw the breath, and then you can't breathe again in the midst of the air until you begin the process over. So what the Jews wanted is for the Romans to break the prisoner's legs right there, because then there was nothing. Nothing but death. No way they could push themselves up to draw one more breath. So the soldiers came to each prisoner in turn, and they broke their legs as they hung there in the agony of death, literally drowning in air. But when they came to Jesus, they found he was already dead. No need to break his legs. So one of them took a spear to make sure that Jesus was really dead and thrust it up into Jesus' side. But seeing that Jesus was not dead, they did not break his legs. And the quiet witness spoke. Psalm 34, verse 20. "He protects all of his bones. Not one of them will be broken." And the quiet witness spoke. Psalm 22, verse 16. "A band of evil men have surrounded me. They have pierced my hands and my feet." And the quiet witness spoke. Isaiah 53:5. "He was pierced for our transgressions. And the quiet witness spoke. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. They will look on me, the one they have pierced. The quiet witness spoke. And the quiet witness spoke. And the quiet witness continues to speak. There is no voice strong enough to drown out truth. The lie cannot prevail. For the quiet witness, the word of Almighty God, speaks, and it proclaims the truth. The quiet witness speaks. The Holy Scripture, the word of Almighty God. Jesus is the flawless Son of God. In Jesus there is no sin. His death brought us life. We are free. The quiet witness still speaks. It drowns out the lie. He is the King of Kings.